Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show Uplifting Communities with John and Ms. J. Well,
hey.
Today we got a really good special, and I mean special, guest for you guys today. But before I go any farther, I'm going to ask Ms. J if she don't mind taking the pleasure on bringing our special guest home.
Absolutely. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us. And then remember, if you're listening by phone, just select one to join the conversation, or you can just listen. I just wanted to put that reminder out there. Today, our special guest is Justice Davis. I'm so excited to have her. She's a 23-year-old young lady that's doing a lot of great things. And before we dive into all the great things she's doing and has done, let me let Justice tell you a little bit about herself. Justice, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about you, sweetheart?
Yes. Hi, everybody. Like she said, my name is Justice Davis. I'm excited to be on the call today. I'm originally from Kansas City, Missouri. Currently, I reside in eastern Pennsylvania, just a little bit outside of Philadelphia. I work for Hormel Foods. I'm an analyst, but in my free time, I'm a spoken word poet / activist, and I find myself in giving back to the community, speak to our youth, and encourage people and kind of challenge people to stand up for the community and be activists in their own rights through my poetry. So that's a little bit about myself.
Yes. So I'll probably put you on the floor later, you know, put you up there and say, do me a little poem, but I won't do that right now. What I want
okay.
to talk about is that you're a part of, I know a lot of people don't, because people are like, what is the Black Student Union? And so can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I would love to. The Black Student Union is something that kind of originated, I would say, a little bit, maybe over like 40 years ago. So what it is it's an organization of students, and we kind of thrive in predominantly white colleges and institutions. And what we do is we are leaders on campus, Black students mostly, not all the time, but predominantly Black students who put themselves into the investment of Black students on campus. So we fight to create a more cultural competent campus, and we also support any type of thing that kind of advances our community overall, whether that be through education, retention on campus to keep students in the university until graduation, whether it be leadership, so cultivating leaders of our communities for tomorrow, and just preparing them for life and professionalism throughout their entire career. So that's what the Black Student Union is, and I had the pleasure of spearheading the Black Student Union through my presidency back at Kansas State University. And we're an award-winning BSU. I'm on the Big 12 Conference on Black Student Government. So that's a little bit about BSU. Did I explain it well, or did you have any more questions about it?
Yeah. That's really awesome that an organization like that exists for, you know, the young Black students, because sometimes you get in college, you can get really lost, you know, trying to find your city in. And so to have something like that, what they can be a part of, you know, besides a sorority or fraternity, is awesome.
I wanted to ask
you
a question on that also. Now, as you know, a lot of struggling, intelligent young people is trying to go to college, you know, and further their education. Now, let's say one of those students is financially you know, hurting. Do you guys help them find funds for that?
Yeah, so what the BSU, that's short for Black Student Union, what we do sometimes is if we know that some students on our campus currently are kind of having financial issues with remaining on campus, we find resources that can help them out. So whether that be through their personal colleges. So, if, for example, I was a part of the College of Business, and through the BSU, I got linked to our diversity office, and through which we have various scholarships and donations, and we have a really, really good relationship with our financial. He was like the vice president of our financial aid department, and he kind of specializes in helping students of color I guess, historically marginalized students and finding other resources to help them pay for their tuition, right? So they would kind of get advised on how to handle student loans, but also trying to find those extra free resources to kind of aid us throughout our total college career. So whether it's financial aid or finding other donors that give back to the school to help us throughout our time at the university.
Are you guys authorized to advertise on campus?
To advertise on campus? Sure. While with social media being such a huge medium of publication, we advertise through our social media. We have a website, a link on our university's website to our page. We go on our student unions and we talk about the Black student union. We try to recruit other Black students to be a part of the organization. So yeah, we advertise tremendously on our respective campuses.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
So how is how many people you think is in your organization? This organization.
Wow. So if I can remember back, because I graduated in 2016, so it's been a couple of years since I was involved. But I would say actively, we probably had about 50 members who were very, very active in the organization, but signed up to, as a member, we probably had somewhere a little bit over 100 students who were Black on campus, who were part of the Black Student Union. So our reach was pretty small. So if I use Kansas State University as an example, we probably made up about 1,200 students overall, as far as Black students on campus, but maybe 10% of them were actively a part of BSC. So you can see that there's a huge deficit in the amount of people that were involved compared to how many Black students were on campus. But that was something that was a huge concern of ours, and we're trying to actively kind of challenge ourselves to be more and more, to build awareness around who BSC was to help our students.
Yeah, the reason I had asked you that, because, I know there's a lot of good organization, Black organizations, is on
right.
campus
mm-hmm.
throughout the United States, especially your large colleges. But it's
mm-hmm.
not that many Blacks, join them,
And
to compare to the Blacks that's in college, because there's quite a few.
Right.
Matter of fact, that last survey they had, at one time they were saying it was more Blacks in prison than we had in colleges, but the last survey they reversed that. It's more Blacks in college now than they are in prison.
More and more students are having the accessibility of higher education, and we see the numbers kind of lie in our favor when it comes to more and more Black students going to college. However, there are disparities in how many actually get involved, especially when you go beyond HBCUs, historically Black colleges and universities, into our predominantly white campuses. Like, we saw that, man, it was a correlation between people who actually stayed on campus to graduate while they were involved. So not only were they graduating, they were also involved. So we saw that involvement kind of helped our retention rate and kind of encouraged people to graduate. And Black students felt involved, they dropped out. And so that was a huge concern on my campus, and I'm pretty sure on many campuses across the country kind of saw the challenge of trying to get more students involved in our organizations on these campuses to ensure that they graduate and actually succeed in the whole kind of college experience.
So there is a benefit, joining, because it gives them motivation and give them support. And I mean, I can see it. That's great, man. I love it. I just love it.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, it's definitely a benefit. I mean, at historically white campuses, we go to class and we might be one is like two other Black students in our classes, and the statistics show that, with low representation, it's kind of hard for us to stay engaged and get involved, and it's hard for us to seek out for tutoring or help when we may need that resource. And so having a collective body of people to support each other and kind of push each other, encourage each other is really important to our overall success. You know, Ubuntu says, I am because we are. And so that's kind of what our various Black student unions embody. I am because the whole community, we make it. So that's how we all succeed. So I think that it's so super important in our individual success.
You're a young, intelligent lady, and I wanted to ask you a question. Do you this is going toward the younger generation? Okay, do you think that is more in the younger generation? You think that there's more successful people in the younger generation, or not?
Compared to the older generation. I'm not sure if it's more successful people. I would say that maybe in different areas we see success, right? So I think immediately we think, I mean, our older generation, they paved the way for us. So they were fighting battles that maybe we don't have to fight, for instance, whether it's our right to vote, whether it's our right to attend certain universities that were segregated before, you know, our ancestors and leaders came before us, and that was their value of success. Now, our success is measured a little bit differently. I think our success now is kind of measured in, can we carry that torch that was laid before us, that foundation that was laid before us? Can we actually graduate, not only graduate, create financial freedom in our communities and economic development in our communities? Can we not only succeed in and graduating, but can we carry the right and civil, or carry the torch in civil rights? Maybe it doesn't look the same as marching through Selma and the March on Washington with Martin Luther King. Maybe now it's Black and brown bodies who are suffering at the hands of police brutality. So I think our success is just a little bit different than the people right before us, but I think that maybe I think we're all successful in our rights throughout our generations, but I think it's just a different way of looking at it today, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. But maybe I didn't ask you the question right. But that was good the way you put it. You know, I was trying to ask you, do you think as more young people is leaning toward success, then, you know, what is the balance? What is the ratio? You think it's more young people going toward the success, or just or stagnated?
That's a great question. You know what? You know, I think a lot of the times with the current state of our community and the presidency, that is a super hot topic. It seems like our community can be kind of hopeless. But I think there's a lot of positives. So I think to answer your question, I would think that more so we're leaning towards success. I mean, at one point, Black women was the graduating from college at a higher rate than any other demographic. And I think that statistic alone shows the success in our generation today of Black women just kind of being the forefront of so many movements in our communities. And I think I think success is on our side, honestly. And I think that right now, I think we're getting awakened with a lot of things and challenges that we're facing today. And so it's kind of challenging us to be better and do more. And so, I think that success is on our side. And I think we're leaning towards more successes in our future and current state.
Wow, you sharp. Yeah, you are very, very intelligent.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes. What you got to say, Ms. J?
No, I agree with what you. I was trying to feel where I was trying to understand where you were coming from. So, but a lot of times that we talk about success, that's determined what success is to individuals. You know, you know, we have some young individuals that are striving to be activists, strictly activists, community activists. We have some that are striving to be professionals. We got some that are striving to be both. So I think when you talk about success, I think that's determined by the individual. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't think it's a blanket picture about what success is. Because what success is for me may not be what success is for you.
For sure, for sure. And I think I think a great example of that is because to me, I kind of like to consider myself more of an activist. So when I see something that's hurting our community, I'm like, okay, what are we gonna do? And I'm conscious about it. I'm gonna speak up about it. And someone kind of and I was kind of upset. And one of my peers, who was also an activist, he was a male. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, why are you not as tough as me? And kind of as resilient as me, and trying to fight for what we think is right. And someone had to check me on it and be like, well, justice, like, you have to have different parts of the movement to make up the whole entire movement. So, you know, that quote, that the sum of the body, kind of, you know, the greater the sum of the parts makes the whole body. So the body can be only great as the sum of its parts. So we have to play our different roles. So whether I'm up with my fists protesting in the streets, or I'm in legislation, or I'm working in my corporate job, or I'm in school, or I'm trying to fight to make sure my family, I'm a single mom, and I'm trying to make sure my family has enough food for the next day so I can see my kids make it. We're all playing our part in this whole entire movement. So, yeah, my success is measured differently, I think. So that's a cool example of how that is so.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's really determined by what we're striving for as individuals.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, you're right, Ms. J, you know. But you know, you still can come up with some type of statistic, you know,
mm-hmm.
how many young people is going towards success, or how many of them is still incarcerated going toward
yep.
other things. You know.
And that'd be something probably Google.
And how you figure that out is check the ones that's working in college or doing other things. I'm talking about in her age bracket than the ones that's
right.
not.
But
you know,
I'd like to go through that again, though. But John, going to college doesn't necessarily mean that success. I mean, when
very
I
true.
Say, and no disrespect to anybody, I'm a college graduate too. But there's been a lot of people mm-hmm. that are successful and never touch college.
Yeah,
so, yep, I agree.
Yeah, so to say,
yeah.
like, going to college guarantees some type of, no disrespect, because I'm a college graduate myself, success, I think that would be kind of not a valid statement. Or maybe...
you're right.
You know what
because
I mean? Because college does not
statistics is not a valid statement anyway. Because the
yeah.
way they do it, they go by, let's say, for how many people live, how many people in the United States. Then you ask yourself a question. How many people is not registered? How many people,
mm-hmm.
you know, haven't had, they talk about unemployment rate. How many people, you know, that ran out their unemployment and they don't even have them on record if they're having them work or not?
Right, right.
You know, so how can they get an accurate statistic? No, you know, let's say I got three people, you know, five people living in my home. You know, but none of them registered to vote, you know, or either whatever. So how they can, it's a trip.
No,
it's
it really is. Mm-hmm.
You know, but anyway, let's move on. You know, I see, you know, and I'm gonna let Ms. J finish the interview, but I wanted to ask you one more question. I see you're the co-founder of an organization, okay? And who is the Manhattan Alliance of Peace and Justice? You know, explain what you guys do.
Okay, yeah, so back in my time in Manhattan, Kansas, when I was in college, the Black Student Union joined forces with the Manhattan Alliance of Peace and Justice in local churches to kind of create a group of advocacy for against police brutality, right? So that was the time where the wake of Michael Brown had happened, and a lot of shootings. You know, Kansas, we're not that far from Missouri, and a lot of our people are from Trump Ferguson, and so a lot of us are dealing with the hurt of the Michael Brown situation, and we're carrying that burden, you know, while we're on campus. And so we had the need to do something about it, and we did some research in our own area, and we're a part of Raleigh County, and we saw that some statistics were in our favor, right? Like, blacks in that area were being arrested for nonviolent criminal acts, such as, like, I guess you would say the carrying of drugs or just certain things, certain misdemeanors, and we're getting arrested and disproportionate rates compared to our white counterparts. And so we, as a collective, we thought, okay, let's bring this up to the Raleigh County Police Department, and let's hold a forum, let's bring community members within that conversation, and let's talk about race, unconscious racial bias within our police practices. And so that was something we all kind of got there, and we were like, let's post a forum to talk about it, and maybe even try to encourage our police departments to get some type of training, training for unconscious bias in their police practices, and try to help the situation and kind of alleviate this problem that we so much cared about. So that's kind of a brief background on some of the things that we, as a collective, came up with. And so, I mean, we that was a couple of years ago that we kind of got together to discuss this situation.
That's pretty good. Yeah, we need something like that, you know. You know, in all the communities, you know, throughout the United States, you know.
We need
organizations just like that, you know. And that's what, you know, Uplifting Communities Talk Show is all about. You know, it's getting people to listen at people like you. Mm-hmm. You understand? And I see we do have a lot of callers. And, you know, and maybe somebody can go ahead on and, you know, and come up with something to have some type of peace and justice in their community, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
and, you know, so, you know, but back to you, Ms. J.
Go ahead, Justice.
Yep.
Go ahead, Justice.
Yeah, I was just saying, I love the idea of Uplifting Community. That's what it's all about, right? I think that, you know, when we think about police brutality, I personally think that even the first step of solving some of these issues is having police kind of practice in the communities they actually live in, right? Because you've got to have a vested interest in that community, and once you connect the people in that community, you can now actually work within that community and have conversations with them and have people that we can talk about the differences and how we feel and our different perspectives. We don't know that perspective are our reality. Our perspective is our reality. And so I just want to think it's so, so cool when I see communities like San Francisco and the Bay Area and where I live in Eastern Pennsylvania host schools with their police department and their community, because it's such a disconnect. And all we need is somebody who can say, hey, I see the injustice here in my area, and I see the disconnect between two bodies of people kind of working for the greater good. Let's bring them together and let's talk about it. Yeah, it's so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is powerful, you know. And, you know, so mainly y'all talk about the different problems in the communities and see how y'all can solve.
For sure.
Justice?
Yep.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, yep. Can you ask your question again? I'm sorry if I missed that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, we have to step up and do what we need to do as individuals, and I think it varies by individuals. But I think all of us have something to give, and each community
For sure. Is
a bigger problem than, you know, different problems. You know, we all have general problems, but we all have individual problems, too, that we can tackle, you know, as individuals. So,
for
you know,
sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Got a dance,
still
yeah, everybody's still here. We waiting on you.
Oh, I'm just that again. But no, so as far as like, you know, So I think it makes a really a big difference on having the young people step up, because older people will not be able to do it for much longer. So to have young people that are conscious is a major deal.
Yeah, for sure. I remember when I asked, when we were really protesting, if we think of all of the Black and brown bodies who were killed, thanks of police brutality. I remember my grandma coming and watching the news when we were protesting back in Kansas City after the Ferguson situation. She was like, damn, like, she was so distraught. She was looking at the TV and she was talking to me. And my grandmother was like, man, we marched on, so you didn't have to. And so when my grandma told me that she marched on, you didn't have to, I kind of thought that, I'm like, well, it's up to us to kind of push that idea forward, right? And so we can't just leave it, you know, at the hands of our grandparents, right? And after the civil rights movement, we can't just stop saying, it's up to our generation to kind of say, hey, we have to be the leaders of today, and we have to be the leaders of tomorrow, and we kind of have an amazing foundation laid before it. So now it's time for us to take that torch and carry on the plight of civil rights and that social justice and whatever it may be. You know, it's so many things, and so many things that we can talk about that, you know, our generation is fighting for. And I think everybody always should talk bad about millennials and how we're really into social media and all this extra stuff about millennials. Millennials, the only thing that's really cool about our generation is that they're very rebellious and we're not fooling around with the status quo. And so when we see something we don't like, we're the first ones to jump on the bandwagon of advocacy and try to fight for true change in our communities. And I think that's something really cool about our generation that people may not pick up at first sight, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for some reason, y'all have to excuse the radio station because some mm-hmm. reason they keep dropping Ms. J from our interview. But I don't know what's the problem. You know, they keep dropping her. Let me see. I don't know if that's her. Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes, I know Blog Talk don't have no love for me today, but it's okay. But
yeah.
Great comment that you made. I was listening, even though it kicked me out. Great comment, because that is true. You know, we have to, you know, and then, too, I always think, too, as elders, sometimes we got to sit back and realize that it's not going to be our way. You know, a lot of times we mm-hmm. think because our way would work that way back in the day and so forth, that we're not always open to change. And I think for mm-hmm. both generations to work effectively together, we both got to, the young people got to be open to old school little bit of knowledge because we, you know, they've been around. And then we got to understand that things have changed and we have to be open to make some adjustments to the new changes. And
but,
I think that'll
yeah.
make
for
a whole
sure.
team.
For sure, my church, our young adult ministry, our whole name is called Bridging the Gap. Because we noticed that, you know, I'm not sure if people who listen are actually religious, but just even in the church, if I think about that as an example, like, you know, certain things that, you know, our elders and traditional way of worshiping is just changing. Like, in our generation, it's kind of like, there's a disconnect between the older generation and the younger generation. And so, you know, in my church, we're like, okay, we're going to bridge this gap. And you know, we have to come to some type of compromise, you know, and sometimes the older generation is kind of apprehensive on what we can bring to the table, and maybe they don't put the kind of like trust in us young folks, but it's like, hey, we can take up, you know, the generations of tomorrow, so we have to step up and bridge the gap between, you know, what the old and the new are trying to find a common ground between the two generations.
Mhm. Yeah. Miss J, you with us? Miss J, are you mm-hmm. with us?
Yes, I'm in the queue. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm here. I'm just listening because I like to learn. So sometimes I get involved in the, I get mesmerized by the conversation sometimes, so forgive me. But yeah, you know, I mean, because you're making some valid points, and I think a lot of times, like you said, and I, you know, everybody's in agreement that we have to learn to work together because we can't solve anything divided. So if we're divided by, you know, by classism or age or knowledge, mm-hmm. all that causes divisions, and we can't accomplish mm-hmm. anything divided. So we just got to learn to come together and respect the differences, and let's get something accomplished, because there's a lot of work that needs to be done.
Exactly, 100%
right. Right, there's definitely a lot of work. I wanted to ask you another question. And the reason why I'm asking you these questions is because you're young, you know, way younger mm-hmm. than I am. And it was a statement made, and I wanted to get your opinion on it, from mm-hmm. Kanye West. And I'm
quite
sure everybody about know about the, yeah. And he uh-huh. says something to the fact that slavery was a choice.
Whew. Yeah.
You
I mean, Kanye West, you know, it's a joke on social media that, you know, from that movie Get Out, that Kanye West is in a certain place, and I kind of agree with that. But, yeah, no, you know, I listened to that interview on TMZ that he had when he said slavery was a choice and all. And I also saw his Twitter comments that kind of, he's trying to save himself and say what he meant, try to explain what he meant by that. But I think that, you know, what he was saying that 400 years, right, it kind of went from a physical slavery to a mental slavery, and we were mentally
exactly.
in prison. Which I do agree that, you know, I do agree that we face an epidemic for centuries of mental imprisonment. But what I kind of disagree with him on is just the way that he kind of went about it. I think he had to terrible way of getting this point across, and that was lost
right.
in translation. It kind of seemed like, oh, we say on translation because we had a choice. We could either walk away because we outnumber our masses, and that was our choice, whereas it wasn't that easy. And to kind of discredit people, the Nat Turners and Harriet Tubman to rebelled against slavery, and those were just only in the free. It was plenty, hundreds of slavery rebellions within various plantations throughout history.
Yeah.
But he discredited it by saying that it was a choice. So, you know, I totally disagree with his comments, though his intentions may have been different than his impact. His impact to me spoke louder than his intentions, and I think his impact
exactly.
was like, yeah, I know. It wasn't good at all. So I just agree with
that. That also comes with a lack of knowledge. You know,
exactly.
When you don't know your own history, and Kanye
mm-hmm.
is not a dumb dude, but he didn't do his homework. And I think he has that tendency to just blurt out stuff. I mean, even before TMZ interview, because I kept that recording until I watched it a couple of times. But he has a tendency
mm-hmm.
to blurt out, which I think it has to do with that mental illness. Not making
mm-hmm.
it an excuse, but you are responsible for the words that come out of your mouth. So
mm-hmm.
not making an excuse. But I think also he was trying to make a point without completely forming it in his mind. He just started blurting out stuff. He was, you know,
well,
and
exactly.
I look at that, you know. Yeah, so I agree with you. And I do believe to a certain degree that there is some mental slavery and mentality and behavior, you know,
mm-hmm.
and something about the choices that we make as a community. You know, not everybody, but there's a lot of, you know, people making some really, you know, not good choices, but to say that we were slain, you know, he just spoke too much, and that's why he went somewhere and
yeah.
got quiet and set his bed down. But we do have some things we have to work on. We have to work on unity. We're still very divided. We're still
very
selfish.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many things that we need to really work on as a community. And what bothers me the most, regardless of his comment, is that if we don't figure out how to work together, we're going to be really irrelevant. We're not going to
yep.
matter as a race. And people don't believe
mm-hmm.
it, but I'm telling you what they're doing. You know, you talk about, you know, people always want to make jokes about, you know, Latinos and all this, but they're self-sufficient. They buy from each other.
For sure.
They take care of each other. The Asian groups do it. The Jewish groups do it, but not black folks. I want to buy that for the white black. Because they always
yep.
got a reason why they won't buy nothing for nobody black. We don't want to put our money together to buy stores. They put their money together by stores. Yes, you know, some of them come through the citizenship, which, you know, they can, as long as they own a business, they can contribute to the country, they get loans. Okay, granted. But if we spend as much money as we spend on clothes, Nike, I'm just saying, it's like $300 for a pair of Nikes. You know, and I ain't got nothing against no weeds. Do your thing, so please don't get mad at me. But we'll spend $800 on some hair. We don't have no savings account. We don't have no backup money. We will not pay rent to go to a concert.
Exactly.
There's some things that need to change. Poor money management across the board. I mean, it's some things that we got to take accountability for and make changes. We can't keep saying the white man this, the white man that, because we're at a time now, yes, we still got some stuff going on, but we're in a place where we can make some real changes that matter. And
we
as a whole, we're not doing that.
Well, if we continue having statements like what Kanye West.
That statement don't have nothing to do with nothing. Because we got to be individuals. That's just a kid flying off his mouth. As an individual, you need to do your own homework. You need to do your own soul searching. You can't take that one comment and say, oh, he's going to destroy the world with that one comment. We've been called the N-word. We've been called all kinds of stuff that can hold us down if we're going to choose words. That comment cannot determine a whole community's future. And if that's the case, that's a slave mentality, because that's just like the master telling you to go back in the field after you just had a baby or whatever, and you go, oh, you know, I'm just saying, we cannot allow one person's words to determine a whole community's future. That's impossible. We have had way more worse stuff happen to us than that comment. Though I do not agree with what he said, even though he tried to clean it up, we cannot allow that comment to determine our future. That comment, we were having a problem before he made that comment.
Yeah, okay, but hold on, Ms. J. Blow it down. what I was about to say, and you, by the way, you're right. You're 100% right. But what I was about to say is that caused it a lot of people to think, and Kanye has a big follower. And a lot of people is looking at that and they thinking, you know, you know one thing, they really had a choice, man. They really, and to me, you know, like that was a slap in our ancestors' face by him.
Well, absolutely, but you can't let. How many times have we been slapped in the face? How many times? I'm just saying that. Yes, he's got a responsibility. He blew it. But we can't harp on that because that's our biggest problem as a community. We get distracted too much. We're always, we run with stuff. Then we run with it and we don't do nothing with it. If that comment affected someone, then what they did say, I'm going to prove him wrong because I don't know what he's talking about. You know, we got to take stuff and flip it. We take stuff and we harp on it. As long as it's on social media, we harp on it, but we don't do nothing about it. And a lot of people that are mad and no disrespect, they're not even doing nothing in the community to improve the community. They just want to be mad because everybody else is mad.
You know, I think personally, when it comes to Kanye West being someone who was a fan of Kanye West, I think we have to be real on why we're so angry that Kanye West is saying it, and why we're not angry at the fact that Herman Cain is saying, and Candace Owens, and people who are normally more on the right side of politics and black, you know what I'm saying? I think with Kanye West, it's a feeling of hurt, right? So it's like Kanye West at one point when he made the college dropout and those type of albums when he first came out, it's like, talk about this stuff in your music, the very thing that you're calling out, you were against in your music, you know? And when we think about the song When It All Falls Down, like, they made us hit ourselves and love and wealth is for our shorty follow with the followers that drug dealers by doing crackheads by crack and the white man gets paid off of all that. Kanye West said that, so now that we see that, you know, today he's kind of switching up, it's not a matter of really distracting by what Kanye West is saying, because we know it's different. It's more so like, we're hurt. But someone that we idolize, I'm not saying that was right or wrong, but we idolize this guy in our community based off of things that he taught us through music when he first came out. And now pushing this whole ideology to was a point of it's a point now. You know, what disappointed you in you, Kanye, because you have this platform and you're speaking ignorance, and we know that at one point in the history you were on our side, and now we're hurt. It's like if Obama came out with some type of scandal, and we all called the Obamas. You say Barack Obama is still our president, but if he had came out and he had some type of scandal when he cheated on Michelle Obama, it's a difference, and we're just disappointed because he held you to a higher standard.
So is it emotional?
Exactly. And that's why I say that we jump on bandwagons through our emotions, and then we jump off.
That's right.
So I think it is emotional because they think they feel betrayed. Is a betrayal there?
Exactly. But we got
to remember that these are people, and we idolize people. So when they break when they don't do what we expect them to do, our whole world comes falling apart. And that's what I'm talking about, being self-sufficient. If you do your homework and you know our history, you know, like, that fool is tripping. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when we idolize these individuals, we make them bigger than a god almost sometimes. Well, I just say, you know, because
mm-hmm.
the first album, I got all of them, trust me. They were on point. So when we idolize these people, we put expectations on them. As soon as they fall from that expectation, we are devastated.
Yep.
And I think that's we got to stop idolizing people and realize they are just humans. They're going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say stupid stuff. Just like Tyrese crying on the internet. I mean, I love Tyrese. He's a friend. But, you know, people, they went on him, they crying. I'm just saying that we do that. We expect things from people and forget that they are human, forget that they are flawed, forget that they're going through life changes, forget, you know, and I think that is where the disappointment comes in. Everybody know it was a stupid comment, but because he's idolized and we put expectations on him because he has a fan base, and because, you know, he was this and he was that. And then when he's not that, we're all disappointed and hurt. And that's what I'm talking about. I mean, I understand the pain. I understand the disappointment. I watched the TMZ review 3 times. I'm like, this fool is tripping. But I wasn't like hurt like a lot of people because I realized he's just a man. He on medication. He taking one pill instead of 3. Anything going to come out his mouth.
Yeah. For sure.
Well, yeah, we only have like about 2 minutes and 45 seconds left on the show, so I'm asking Ms. J to start closing this out.
Oh, absolutely. And for all you people of Malakaya, don't be mad at me. I'm just talking. That's just my opinion. But I do appreciate you coming on, Justice. You had a great conversation about the Black Student Union. And some of the young people that are in college, you know, check it out on your campus. And Justice, if you have one positive thing to say to the audience before you leave, what would that be?
Yeah, I just want to say, please stay encouraged. Remember to be an advocate in your own right and whatever lane you're in. Remember to do that to the fullest. And if you're on social media, please follow me on Instagram and Snapchat at Defining Justice, so at Defining Justice, just as it sounds, spelled just like that. So, yeah, thank you for having me, and I appreciate you inviting me on the show.
No, I appreciate you, because we learned from you as well. And it was a great ending of the conversation. We brought it down to your age group and a little bit older, but it was a really good conversation, because sometimes dialogue helps change thinking. So we appreciate you being open with the dialogue and very honest, and we appreciate that. So thank you for joining us. And Mr. John L. Brown.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Justin, I really, really liked the conversation. I mean, this was so really good. And I would advise everyone out there, people that's listening in, have kids, grandkids that are in college, tell them. They need to get with one of them organizations on college, because not only will it minimize the dropout, you know, but they also encourage you to stay in college and graduate.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a great way to have someone to back you up, to help you out. Back to you,
Ms.
J.
Right, John. Yeah, great support system. You're absolutely correct, John, because college can be challenging. without a good support system. And everybody are like, you know, don't do fraternities and sororities. So sometimes you need a great organization. So look, you know, like John said, look up a great organization that supports your needs and be a part of it. Yes, absolutely. So thank you, New Justice, for joining us. We appreciate it. And thank you, John,
thank you
for putting up with me. Got no hot on the conversation, but I appreciate it. And thank you, everybody else, for joining us, too. We appreciate you guys joining us every Sunday. We really do.
Thank you.
And, yes, and John, anything else?
That's it. So I would say good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone, and peace and blessings. Thank you for joining us.
All right.
Bye.